SBS Radio.
What makes your story unique as an Aboriginal person?
I think it's unique because it's truth-telling and it's time to put it out there and with confidence and be proud of what the story's all about.
With all that you have been through as an Aboriginal child, how did you turn out to be a community role model?
With the strength from people around me, my family, my extended family, my family that when I came to Sydney, that was a big part of my life and it still is, the people from the block in Redfern, and Redfern is my home away from home, but Redfern is home to me. And that's the way it is. And I got all the strengths from being around people when we were all young people. We formed friendships and those friendships are still going today. We're not just friends, we're family. And that makes one hell of a difference. That's where we get our strength from.
Many in the Filipino community, in particular in Sydney, knew about you. How do you immerse with the Filipino community?
I have a very dear friend who was Filipino and I've known her for quite some time, nearly 40 odd years. And we've formed a friendship and we're just like extended family. And I always say when I go out that I have a Filipino family because that's what it is. Her boys are part of my family and my kids are a part of her family and we are family.
We can say you're an adopted Filipino.
You can say that with my heart and soul and with my blessing because I am.
As a businesswoman and a bread and butter cook, as you mentioned in your video story, what are the must-try Aboriginal food for you?
Oh, look, anything. You know, like kangaroo, like I said, it's not fattening. It's in the supermarkets now. A crocodile can be a bit expensive. The lemon myrtle you can grow in your backyard now. It's in the nurseries. And that's medicinal as well as savoury. And you can make savoury or sweets. Adding, it's just like a herb from like a bay leaf or, you know, coriander or whatever. But it's got a very different flavour. And fish cooked in paper bark, try that. You know, there's all sorts of things and we have different herbs and spices now and they're found in some of the supermarkets or you can buy a lot of things online now.
It makes me hungry. You are an educator. What's the best lesson you have learned all through your lives that you would like to impart to everyone?
Like I said, the philosophy about my education and about what I do today is like if you have an education and this is for everybody, every child, that they should have an education because it enables them at the end of the day to have a choice, a voice.
Considering your younger years as an Aboriginal girl, did it ever come into your mind that you will be doing something in your older life that would help change, eliminate the struggles and uplift the lives of your Aboriginal people?
And I knew I was on a mission because that's why my oldies encouraged me to come to Sydney to do get an education. And I think, and like they said to me, you will find your own journey, but you will continue to help other people. And that's how it, you know, happened. But I always had this vision, if I had an education, I would have a voice, I would have a choice. And I was able to do that and take it back to the community and go from there. And it's opened up lots of doors for me as well.
Through the video story we just watched here today, I can say that you shared your story happily. But what do you want to pass on to non-Aboriginal Australians?
I think what I would like to for all of us to be just people that respect one another and respect our culture and, you know, there's no difference in people. We all bleed red when we bleed. And I think that's the thing, is we have to learn to respect culture no matter what background we come from. And then the world will be a better place.
How about to the younger generations of Aboriginal Australians?
To the younger generation, they'll go on their own journey and they will find their voice and their choice. But the most important thing for them to do, like I said, is to get an education and they have a voice, they have a choice, but to have respect. Respect doesn't come in a can or a bottle. We all have to earn that. and once you have respect for other people's culture, you have respect for everybody else, your family or whoever it may be. But like I said, I always tell the students, respect don't come in a can or a bottle, you have to earn it. And that's what a lot of us miss out on. And I think it's starting to happen now because we have to learn to respect one another.
What does Voice Truth Treaty means to you?
I think the voice that we have a voice and treaty should have happened 40 years ago and it would have been a little bit different today. But it'll continue to go and maybe one day, maybe not in my lifetime, but in the next generation's lifetime, it will happen for them, you know, because now they've got a bit of education and they're able to go on their own journey and you will see the fighters out there to fight the fight and make that happen. But it shouldn't be a fight. It should be that we just have to respect one another and make it happen.
Thank you very much, Auntie Beryl.
Thank you.
Inyong komunidad, inyong usapan sa SBS Filipino.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.